Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live Cenacle series. And today we're blessed to have with us Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. I saw the San Marino sisters, and I think the Mother House has just joined us. So let me take care of some business here. I'll just make sure I pin the videos so that you see the sisters and Mother and not me. Okay, so I've got, I think I pinned the wrong person. Sorry. Okay, just take a look here. Sorry. Hi, Mary. Didn't mean to pin you, too. Okay. Okay, let's go back to, hi, sister. Okay, so bring us back to where we were a moment ago. We were here. Pardon the slow start. Great. Well, we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And we're going to use, as we have been using for the last several weeks, a supplication. Located in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. This is day 31, the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven, the soul, us, to the glorious Queen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So again, it's just a joy. It's a grace to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time and to have Mother and the sisters with us. So I'm going to ask everyone to unmute themselves. Well, not everyone, sisters in San Marino and the Mother House, so we can keep everything going forward here. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello.
Well,
San Marino, I don't
see them. Yeah, San
Marino's here.
Here. They're all in white there. I mean, not just the hat, but it's just the walls and the curtains. Beautiful. Beautiful feast day too today, Mother, St. Rita. We're in the Poconos. Yeah, we're about 2 hours north of her shrine in Philadelphia. So it's like a jewel in the midst of a neighborhood. And, you know, I was just... I don't know much about St. Rita, but I was looking at a couple of quotes, and I'd just like to share two, if we can start off with that. The first one, quote by St. Rita is, quote, "Be at peace with your own soul, then heaven and earth will be at peace with you," end quote. And it rang a bell, and I didn't know where, but I did some research, and it's basically St. Augustine in his Confessions stated, quote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you," end quote. So yeah, until we figure ourselves out and realize we're nothing, we're something, but we're nothing, we're not going to be able to obtain this gift, because we're not going to be able to comprehend it. Like our Blessed Lord says, I think in volume 36, I don't know the date, but he says the divine will has two great opposite effects. For those disposed, it's life, light, and love. And for those who are not disposed, it's darkness and misunderstanding. So we understand, again, how some of our brothers and sisters do not accept this gift of the divine will. Again, they haven't been given that little grace to see the little light in the divine will, and then to gravitate toward that light like we have, slowly but surely, one step at a time. Mother, again, great to have you.
Yeah, it's a great gift, the divine will. You know, not everyone is accepting it. We have to just thank God if he's given us the grace to have our hearts open to it and to love it. You know, when I first started reading it, You know, the devil tries to come and confuse you and make you think, well, this is too good to be true. How can this be? I was reading, it was 1998 when I first got it, and I would sit out in the woods at the monastery, and I was just so excited about it. It just all came alive to me. Then when I would, you know, later, maybe a day or two later, I would start getting doubts, thinking, well, is this really of God? And then I would go back and read it. I'd get all excited again. The devil would keep coming. And then when you don't give up, you just keep on persevering and reading it, then he leaves you alone. And then you can continue on, you know, but it's such a great gift. And we just have to pray that we live in it more and more every day of our lives. I was just reading here in volume 12. This was May 22nd, 1919. And Jesus was saying, I am preparing the era of the living in my will. And for all that creatures have done in the past generations and will not do, in this era of my will, they will complete the love, the glory, the honor of the whole creation. And I will give them astonishing and unheard of graces. This is why I'm calling you to live in my will. And I whisper into your ear, Jesus, I lay at your feet the adoration, the subjection of the whole human family. I place in your heart the I love you of all. On your lips, I impress my kiss in order to seal the kiss of all generations. I clasp you with my arms in order to clasp you with the arms of all, to bring you the glory of all the works of all creatures. And I feel in you the adoration, the I love you, the kiss, etc., of the whole human family. How could I not give you the love, the kisses, the graces which I should give to the others? Now know, my daughter, that what the creature does on earth is a capital that she forms for heaven. Therefore, she does little, she will have little. If much, she will have much. If one loved me and glorified me for 10, she will receive 10 more contentments, corresponding to as much glory, and will be loved by me 10 times as much. If another loved me and glorified me for 100 and for 1,000, she will receive contentments, love and glory for 100 and for 1,000. In this way, I will give to the creation all that I have decided to give, and the creation will give me all that I must receive from them, and my glory will be completed in everything. So we continue to take what God did for each one of us, and once he relived each one of our lives to perfection. We take all of that as our own. We put our I love you and everything he gives us throughout the day, and realizing him doing everything within us is to redo what was messed up from the fall of Adam and Eve. We have to redo it all. He redid it. We just have to accept it and take it and return it to him. And then when everything has been taken that he expects us to take, and it's all been done, the divine will reign completely and totally throughout the world. But he's waiting for that moment. So we don't waste time. We have to do lots of acts and rounds and divine will to make it happen.
But you know, Mother, when you frame it like that, it really is. It's the truth. The divine will really is not that difficult. It's when we start to question things, and Jesus says, "Do not investigate." I love that. Do not investigate. Like, why is this happening? How can that be? You know, I mean, we can be curious, but the curiosity should draw us to read or listen more. It's when we start to get bogged down with trying to figure it out ourselves that we run into a quagmire.
Right. Also in the same volume, he says, my daughter, all of my works are complete. Therefore, the glory that the creature must give me will be complete. The last day will not come until the whole creation has given me the honor and the glory which I myself wanted and established. And what some do not give me, I take from others. In these, I redouble the graces which others reject from me. And from these, I receive double love and glory. To others, according to their dispositions, I reach the point of giving the graces which I would give to 10. To others, those which I would give to 100. To others, those which I would give to 1,000. Sometimes I give the graces which I would give to cities, to provinces, and even to entire kingdoms. And these love me and give me glory for 10, for 100, for 1,000, etc. In this way, my glory on the part of creation is completed. And when I see that the creature cannot make it, in spite of her goodwill, I draw her into my will, in which she finds the virtue of multiplying one single act as many times as she wants, giving me the honor, the glory, and the love which others do not give me. So even when we're weak and we're little and we can't do it, he takes over. We just have to have the desire. We desire it. God does all the work, but we have to continue to desire. You've said that many times, Peter, to desire. It's our desire that God sees. He takes the desires of our heart and he makes them realities. So although we very little, we're like little babies in his arms, he knows that what we want, what we desire, and he makes it happen. So we just have to keep on doing that, you know, and that's showing our love to him as we desire. We desire him alone. We desire to love him with his own love, and it happens. You don't have to feel it. You just desire to love him with his own love, and it really happens. You are loving him with his own love. When I was a young sister, I asked Mother Angelica, I said, how can I love God more? She said, the desire to love him more is loving him more. But we always think we've got to feel it. We've got to feel God's love the way he feels it, you know, but it's not that. It's not that at all. It's just desire. And, you know, God in his divinity, what does he feel anyway? He just loves totally. And to understand that, you know, we only understand feelings. If you don't feel it, you think it's not there. It doesn't exist if you don't feel it, you know. And that's not the way the divine will is. If you desire it, it's a reality in God's mind.
That's what St. Paul says too, Mother. He says, when everything else passes, love will still exist. It's the beginning. It's the end. And now we're living through that, trying to reacclimate ourselves with what love used to be, because there seems to be much, much hate in the world. Hello, Sister Francesca.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everyone. I got distracted. I enjoyed hearing Mother's accent. Desire.
Yeah. Me too. I get distracted.
It was so cute. I liked hearing that. I think part of the problem too is, you know, we feel like we're never loving God enough because, you know, if we don't feel it, but also because we have this, I think, false image of God that he's like unpleasable. Like we can never do enough to please him. He always wants more and more and more. And I think that's one of the effects of original sin, because even Adam and Eve, the reason they grasped for the fruit was they thought God was holding out on them. They didn't trust God. And I think, you know, that's probably the root of a lot of our problems. We don't really trust that God longs for us. We're his little children, and he's not looking for big and spectacular things. And he's so pleased with whatever love that we have to offer, that we can offer. I wanted to read a passage from day 12 of the Virgin Mary book. It reminded me of what Mother was saying. She was saying how Jesus has already done the acts. We just have to take those acts as our own. And this passage talks about how our Blessed Mother also invites us into all of her acts. So sometimes if we feel like, you know, how do I do this divine will thing? It's like we have our Blessed Mother that's guiding us the whole way. So she says, "Now, child of my heart, you must know that as my life down here began, the divine will extended its kingdom in all my acts. So my prayers, my words, my steps, the food, the sleep I took, the little tasks with which I helped my mother were animated by the divine will. And since I have always carried you in my heart, I called you as my child in all my acts. I called your acts to be together with mine, so that also in your acts, even in different ones, the kingdom of the divine will might extend. Listen to how much I have loved you. If I prayed, I called your prayer into mine, so that yours and mine might receive the same value and power, the value and the power of a divine will. If I spoke, I called your word. If I walked, I called your steps. And if I did the little human actions indispensable to the human nature, such as taking the water, sweeping, helping my mother by handing the wood to her in order to start the fire, and many other similar things, I called these same acts of yours that they might receive the value of a divine will, and so that both in mine and in yours, its kingdom might extend. And while calling you in each of my acts, I called the divine word to descend upon earth." So beautiful. I love the passages that talk about, you know, the simplicity of Our Lady's life, you know, the part of her life that was just so ordinary. And that was, I think, that's really, that was the most, I don't want to say the most powerful part of her life, but that's where, in another passage of Our Lady's book, I remember she was begging the Holy Trinity to send the Redeemer, to send the Savior, to send the Messiah. And his answer was, go back to earth and basically do your acts and rounds. Go back to earth and continue to do your acts in my will. And that's all we're really called to do. You know, we want the kingdom to come reign on earth. We have to keep desiring it. We have to keep praying for it to come to rain on earth. And we have to just call it into all of our acts, our simple acts, our daily life. We don't really have to do anything different. We're just allowing God to do it in us. And what's so comforting about this passage is that we have Our Lady doing it with us too. And, you know, when we get, sometimes we can get scrupulous. Am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing the right thing? Or am I doing it with pure motives or not pure motives? I think it was Grace, the girl we had visiting from us from Australia. She had shared once, she said, just give it to Our Lady and she's going to Marianize it. And I just, that struck me and that stayed with me. And it's true. We just have to give everything to Our Lady and she's going to take it as imperfect as we do it. And she's going to Marianize it. She's going to make it beautiful. She's going to cover it with her acts and present it to her son.
I like that. Marianize it. I've never heard, but I think I'm going to copy that. That's very nice. I like that. Thank you, sister, for the sharing.
That's why it's so important too, to write, especially the month of May, to read every day, the little book of Our Lady. For the month of May, you can read it all year round. It's good to read it all year round, but to ask Our Lady to take you by the hand throughout the day to help you live in God's most holy divine will. She's a loving mother. We're her children, and she wants us to live in it more than we desire it. So she's going to help us all along the way, you know, but it's like sister was saying, just to desire it, to realize, to have faith in our desire, that God wants it more than we want it. He sees our desires, and we have to be, you know, our desire is very honest with him. You know, you can't lie to God. He knows your motives. He knows everything. We can always pray for the right motives for everything too, for the grace, for the have the right motive. But, you know, it's to read the volumes. He said every act that you do in the divine will has value according to the knowledge you have. And how do you get the knowledge? But reading it over and over and over again. And every time you read it, it's like you never read it before. You can read it many times. I've read them all many times, but it's every time I go back, it's like, I never read this before. And God's teaching me something new and different in each passage that I read before, you know, but the knowledge of it is to help us to have more faith in what God is saying as a truth and as reality.
And you mentioned reading it over again, Mother, if you recall, on Radio Maria, just this last Thursday, we read a passage from, in fact, I just put the volume back. I don't know what date it is, but it's volume 27, where Jesus explains to us the value of rereading and rereading. He says, the first time you read, if you've got good intention, of course, you're given a light, and that light is there. And as we come back to it and read the same words, the same sentence, same passage, it explodes into additional lights. It multiplies. So every time we go back to that, that's why we're so redundant sometimes, not because we had nothing to say, but it's so important. Some of these phrases and some of these statements that our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady says, they're so important that we must constantly, I think, repeat it so we remember it. It's like the drum beat. You know, if you listen to a song often enough, you start to get that rhythm in your mind. Well, the same thing comes when we reiterate and iterate what Our Lady and what Our Lord has said to us. That's why we repeat so much.
It's like light excuse, right? Brighter and brighter and brighter. It's like when we have the sun shining, but it's cloudy and the clouds go away and the sun gets brighter and brighter. And that's how it is with every knowledge that you get about this and every act you do in divine will. The light gets brighter and brighter and brighter because you're understanding it better. You're having deeper faith in what you're reading as reality and as truth. And that's really from God. You know, you have to know that and realize mm-hmm. that. And he gives you a greater realization of that as you understand the knowledges that he's given Louisa. He said one knowledge in this book is so valuable that he didn't want her to miss anything. He wanted every word that he was telling her to write to be put down, you know, and he would reprimand her when she would miss something, you know. And he was very upset when two volumes were missing. And he said those people who lost them will have to pay very much for that, you know.
So I was just reading from volume 16, August 16, 1923. The reason why Jesus wants his will to be done and what glory he receives by this. I was thinking to myself, why does Blessed Jesus have so much interest and he wants and loves so much that his will be done? What glory can he receive from a poor and wretched creature surrendering her will in his most high, most holy, and most lovable will? Now, while I was thinking about this, my lovable Jesus, with unspeakable tenderness and sweetness, told me, my daughter, do you want to know because my love, my supreme goodness is so great that every time the creature does my will and operates because I want it, I give her of my own. And in order to always give her of my own, I want her to do my will. Therefore, the whole reason, the interest for which I want her to do my will is to find occasions and means to be able to always give. It is my love that does not want to be still. It always wants to run, to fly toward the creature. But to do what? To give. And by doing my will, she comes closer to me and I to her. And I give and she takes. On the other hand, if she does not operate to do my will, she places herself at due distance from me, rendering herself as though foreign to me, and therefore she cannot take what I may want to give her. And if I wanted to give her of my own, it would be noxious and indigestible for her, because her palate, unrefined and contaminated by the human will, would not allow her to enjoy nor appreciate the divine gifts. Therefore, my whole interest is because I want to always give of my own. You know, this kind of reminded me, because her palate is unrefined and contaminated by the human will. Like, for example, you know, children that, you know, mother wants to give them something very delicious, like shrimps or truffles or something, and they just don't want to take it. You know, they want like some junk food or something like that. And, you know, because, I don't know, yeah, you can compare it like, a kid sees an advertisement of a junk food and he immediately wants to eat it, but it's bad for a kid and he doesn't want to listen to his mother and eat something really actually delicious and very healthy. And I mean, it's like that with us. And it really makes me think how this, you know, this how Jesus said to give, but to do what? To give. And by doing my will, she comes closer to me and I to her, and I give and she takes. And also it reminded me, we talked the other day, like how many graces are there that God wants to give to the people, but there's no one to take them. So sister said, like, to pray for all these graces that others refuse, you know, to to pray that they won't be lost, but that you take them. And it makes me also think, like, how much actually the people that have the desire, that are at the beginning of wanting to live in the divine will, are actually attacked by evil, by the devil, you know. Like, it seems to me like the evil one is trying to imitate what's the God's will, you know, like kind of just not to be exactly the will of God, the divine will, you know. Like it will try to tempt you in you know, every possible way, even with excessive zeal or, you know, some penitential things or something, like just not to completely reject your own will and desire the divine will. And I think that's also kind of a risk, maybe, you know, because later Jesus tells to Louisa, you know, those who live in the divine will are untouchable by the evil one. But I think it really it strikes just when you are at the beginning. Like, it will try to tempt you with every possible way, you know, be disguised in kind of even the good things and all, I don't know, like create division or put the false truths and things like that. And then, you know, I was also thinking myself, so how can you actually discern, how do you recognize this thing, you know? But I think the answer is, again, acts and rounds, because if you really desire and invite Jesus, you know, to do everything in you, you know, even not to rush into something maybe, but you know, just in peace do the acts and rounds, and that God will reveal himself. Yeah, thank you.
You know, when it comes to, you know, the attacks that we're going to get. Yeah, I remember when I first met Father News, he said the attacks in the beginning are going to be incredible. I think the greatest way we can, or one of the ways we can sort of defend ourselves on that is, you know, we have to know ourselves. We have to know where our weaknesses lie, because that's where the devil's going to try to tempt us, where our weaknesses. So if we can fortify that and be aware of that, I think it's great. I had a question. You mentioned about healthy eating. You know, you mentioned about junk foods. You always eat healthy in the mother house, right? There's no chocolate, no gelato, none of that stuff, right?
How about that break? No, we eat pretty healthy, but we do eat sweets. People give us sweets. And good. Right when we run out, it seems somebody comes to the door with a big bar of chocolate or something, you know. So
we enjoy the earthly delights that point us to the delights.
We let Jesus eat those things in us, and that's a divine act. It doesn't matter how good it is, you know. I mean, could be a good just good bowl of ice cream, but Jesus,
you just want him to enjoy more.
Of course. Let him experience what he didn't experience. Good idea, sister. Yeah, thank you.
I like that. That's
on the other hand, too, we can deprive ourselves of these things for poor souls in purgatory. We can do a lot of holy things with depriving ourselves in different ways. Our Lord, Louisa was just thinking, just what is this divine will? And Jesus said, my daughter, divine will means giving God to God. Divine outpouring and transformation of the human nature into divine. Communication of creative virtue, embracing the infinite, rising into the eternal one and taking eternity as though in one's power to say to God, I have loved you from eternity. Your will has no beginning. It is eternal like you. And in it, I have loved you with the love without beginning or without end. What is my will? It is everything. So as we enter into God and live totally in his divine will, we have our love is going to be eternal love from beginning to end, because everything God does within us is divine. All divine acts have no beginning, no end. They're eternal. So that means if we want to say, Jesus, I want to love you with your own love, we're loving him from all eternity with his own love, you know, from beginning to end. Well, there's no beginning, no end. It's always, 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 you know. So God is eternal, and everything we do in him, we go into God. And so then we participate in everything that is God, which is divinity, divine, no beginning, no end. What a great gift that is, to know that we can enter into God. We become little gods, you know. What a great gift this is.
You clarified that too earlier, Mother. You said, you know, really that we don't have to really change what we're doing. I mean, but I think God is asking us, when he says give up holy things, he's saying, okay, put a pause to everything. Embrace this first so I can elevate everything you're doing to another level, a level that we cannot achieve by ourselves. So really, it's not like we're changing our lives, except we're allowing God to change our lives. We're not changing anything, but God is.
You don't have to do anything different, except you try not to sin, but you know, you try, right. You live in God's will, but you don't have to do anything different. You just invite him to do everything that you've always done. Invite him into those activities, into those actions that you've always done, even in your prayers. He will pray better than you will pray. So, you know, you invite him into your prayers. If you don't do them so well, God will do them. He'll straighten them out. Ask Our Lady to pray with you too.
That's right.
She'll straighten all your prayers out if you get distracted or whatever, you know, but your desire is to do it well. Your desire is to give your whole heart to him. And that's all he wants. You know, we're going to always fall. We're going to always fail. We're not perfect. We might not say our prayers perfectly, but we desire and we try, and God sees the effort and he sees the desire.
I just want to say, sorry, real quick, okay. That passage that Mother read was from volume 21. Louisa was in her 60s. So have courage if there's people out there who still don't understand certain things. Louisa asked the question, so what is this divine will? So don't be afraid to ask God questions when you don't understand.
So Sister Dora mentioned that people not wanting graces or not receiving graces. So I'll go off that line of thought. A big fountain of grace, as we know, is sufferings. So my passage is from April 16th, 1918. It's entitled, Jesus Comes as Hidden in Sufferings. It begins, my daughter, I send sufferings to the creatures so that they may find me in the sufferings. I am as though wrapped within those pains. And if the soul suffers with patience, with love, she tears the wrapping that covers me and she finds me. So making the most of what God gives us, and also keeping in mind that These sufferings can be used as reparations for our brothers and sisters. So then I tied that into June 4th, 1918, the repetition of the reparations of Jesus. As I hear you repeat my words, my heart feels many distinct joys, and I can say that it is a feast for me. And while I enjoy it, I feel debilitated by the love of your soul. And I was thinking how we can help our brothers and sisters by our sufferings and offering them with Jesus in reparation for them. So he goes on, I have no strength to strike the creatures. I feel in you the same chains which I put on the Father in order to reconcile mankind. So form one single echo of reparations between me and you. And you mentioned about Peter having peace when we recognize who we are and what we're basically called to be. We're called to be Christians, other Christs. So if we know our purpose, sufferings are going to be more than welcomed. They're a gift. And as Dora said, they're a grace that we want to embrace.
Thank you. So, you know, grace is so important. Well, the form of grace is important too, but I'm talking about grace, you know, what God gives us, you know, and it's utilizing the grace. You know, God continues to remind us. The one passage that came to mind was volume 12, May 22nd, 1919. He says, quote, what some souls do not offer me, I take from others, in whom I redouble the graces that others reject from me. And from these, I receive double love and double glory to others according to their dispositions. I reach the point of giving the grace I would otherwise give to 10 to others, those that I would give to 100, yet to others, those I would give to 1,000. Sometimes I give to some the graces that I would give to entire cities, to states, and even entire countries, quote, end quote. So we have to be prepared to receive even more than we've received already. So buckle your seatbelts is an expression Father Celso uses, and I like that. I think we ought to do that. We ought to wear our helmet too, I think. So we're going to get knocked around a bit. Sister?
Hello. So talking Hello. About peace, I was reading the Luisa's letter today, number 80. She was writing this letter to Sister Remigia. And she says to her, never lose peace. She says, do not think of your miseries and weaknesses. The more you think about them, the more you will feel them. And you will really make Jesus cry. On the other hand, not by thinking of them, dear Jesus will cover them with his love, and the light of his will change them into fortitude and divine riches. So he really encouraged me, because the more we think about our miseries and weaknesses, we only lose our hope and peace, but it also makes Jesus cry and sad. But if we really like surrender to God's and abandon ourselves in him, then he will take care of it. It's going to be him who will think of all our difficulties and troubles, and he will cover them with his divine love, and he will change them into our strength. He will make it strength in our weakness. So really, we really have to let Jesus live always together with us, and we shouldn't leave him alone in our hearts. And he will take on the commitment to make of us his faithful copy. And because our Lord, he knows that what we are going through, what our weaknesses are, what we are troubles are, that's why we have to ask him and always call him into our life, into our little activities and worries. And with the most tiny things and with trifles, the divine will, it will use them to build our sanctity. And it doesn't take much. It takes only one attention, one word, or one thought, one desire for the holy will. This is enough. And it takes nothing, only but a firm decision of wanting to live in the divine will, because it is Jesus who wants it for us more than we do for ourselves. So he will make up for us in all that we are not able to do. And so always remember to call the divine will to keep us company. And it really makes me question, like, how much graces and blessings that we are losing because we are not calling divine will into our acts. So this letter really encouraged me to not to lose hope, not to lose peace, but to call Jesus into our daily life.
Reflection, sister. You know, the word attentiveness comes to mind there, because if we're attentive to what we're receiving, and Jesus tells us point blank what's going to happen if we're not attentive. He says in volume 17, December 24th, 1929, quote, "My daughter, when I speak, I unleash the light of truth, and I want my truth to be accepted and taken to heart by the soul. If this light is accepted and put in the place of honor in the soul's interior, it calls for yet another light." And we talked about this on Radio Maria. "Otherwise, it goes back to the source," sort of return to sender. So if we don't use it, it goes back and it'll be given to someone else. So again, the graceful thing to think about, Mother, here is that all the other souls that reject the divine will and have been given grace and graces, those may be distributed amongst us who do believe it. So again, prepare, make room, create space, because it's coming. Sister?
Yes, that's true. And I was listening also to what we've been sharing so far about the desire and how we can marinize our desires and our acts. This leads me to my meditation today, the day 22 of Our Lady's book. And this is something to do with when Blessed Mother, after she fed baby Jesus with her milk, and she gave baby Jesus to St. Joseph so St. Joseph could hold him, and then St. Joseph prepared the bed for Jesus, and then now Blessed Mother put Jesus down in the manger. And so I'll read just this short passage and what our Blessed Mother has taught me in this meditation and to all of us too. And so here it is, our Blessed Mother teaching us. "Now, my child, a little word to you. You must know that my whole joy was to hold my dear son Jesus on my lap, but the divine will made me understand that I should place him in the manger at everyone's disposal, so that whoever wanted could caress him, kiss him, and take him in their arms as if he were their own. He was the little king of all, therefore they had the right to make of him a sweet pledge of love. And I, in order to fulfill the supreme volition, deprived myself of my innocent joys, beginning with works and sacrifices, the office of mother giving him to all. My child, the divine will is demanding and wants everything, even the sacrifice of the holiest things. And according to circumstances, even the great sacrifice of depriving oneself of Jesus." So to me, this is more of like detachment. We need, if we wanted to live in the divine will, we need to be detached to our desire, human desires. We need to only desire what God wants in our lives. And so in this case, Blessed Mother, this is a painful experience for her because she wants to hold Jesus. And this is also for all of us. There are things that we just want to hang on to, our devotions or either religious practices and even virtues that we wanted to really practice. And that sometimes God wants us to let go of those just to be able to do his divine will. And Mother was mentioning earlier about desiring it. Yes, actually, I asked myself that. Okay, Lord, you gave me this human will. That is your gift to me. When you have me in your mind and created me, you give me my human will, so I have the freedom to choose. So for me, as I meditated on this, and Blessed Mother also, I don't remember which passage I read this from the book, was that Mother, Blessed Mother tied her human will at the foot of the throne. And so that we give our human will to God as our gift to him. And in exchange of that is the divine will. And Jesus told us in, I was also reading December 25, 1937. So this is also a Christmas during the birth of Jesus. And, you know, Mother mentioned earlier about the desire. And Jesus told Louisa here, he said, "This is why I want your thinking to be occupied by nothing other than loving me and living in my divine will. My love will burn all your miseries and all your evils, and my divine volition will become your life, using your miseries as the base on which to raise its throne." So we were talking about our weaknesses and how we don't really have enough power on our own. Anyway, we have nothing. We are nothing apart from God. And so Jesus tells us, do not worry about our miseries. Do not worry about our faults and all these problems that we suffer on our own human fault.
But if we just give it to God, our only desire is only to love him and to live in the divine will. And then be silent, learn to listen. Using the example of Our Lady during the Annunciation, she didn't understand everything, but she listens and she said her fiat. So I think that's probably one of the things also that we can learn from our Blessed Mother is to listen quickly, speak slowly, but listen quickly. So by listening and being in silent, listening to God's will, we're more likely to be able to do what he wants us to do. And if it doesn't, if we failed it, if we didn't do it right, let go, don't sit on it. Like Jesus says, the divine will burn all the imperfections in us. And so we will have peace. By doing that, we will have peace. And when we have peace, then we demonstrate to God our trust. Because really losing our peace is one sign that we don't trust him enough. And we don't trust in his mercy. We don't trust in his goodness. We think that we are better than him. So yeah, all of these are together. These are all connected, you know, from desiring what is good, desiring the divine will, desiring to be detached from all of our human desires or human wants, you know, and talking about, you know, those chocolates and all these ice creams and all that. You know, if we're totally detached to anything, we don't worry about those things either. You know, I mean, we don't go out and look for a job so we can have ice cream. You know, we just pray and people comes to our door, knocks and gives us ice cream. What do? Do you pout about it? No, you praise God or thank God for it. And what do? You eat. You eat it in love for God, you know, because you're detached. You don't attach to what you think, right? You know, so you enjoy everything, and that's at least that's what I think.
Yeah, I like also day 16 also, sister, because you know we're talking about, you know, giving up holy things. Our Blessed Lady actually speaks the same thing. She iterates what Jesus says about giving up holy things, but she quantifies it. She qualifies it. She adds to it. She says, "Well, but according to the circumstances." So it's not a blanket give up holy things, especially if there are other people dependent and the circumstance and situation is such that you must do it. I mean, we're not throwing holy things out the window. God's asking us to put them on pause, just like the divine will is put on pause so that we can, you know, gain this elevation that God wants to bring us to. So I love the way she clarifies that, but according to the circumstance. So we don't have to fret about that. And, you know, if you want to get more ice cream, leave your door open and look more, you know, accessible. Wave a flag.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say that the only thing that caught my attention with all you were saying, Madeline, was the part that if we don't have gelato, do we think about going out and getting a job? So we get. I'm thinking here, has that thought crossed your mind, sister? Is there something you want to share with the rest of us? Okay. Okay. All right. I'll try to be serious now.
Not too serious.
So I was thinking, you know, like since today was the feast of Saint Rita of Kasha, and we were watching her movie, which if no one has seen it, it's very good. But just so you know, it's like over 3 hours, about 3.5 hours, but very good. So as we all know, the story is that now the movie is a bit different from the real story. I think the real story was that Saint Rita always wanted to be a nun, but her parents wanted her to get married. So she got married and she had twin sons, as we know. And Saint Rita is the patron saint for, you know, like praying to her for marriage issues or difficulties and whatnot. So as we can imagine, you know, with her story, but in the end, we know that through her sufferings, through her prayers, through her devotion, and through her love, she managed to save the souls of her husband, and then even her twin sons also. I mean, all of them were saved, and then later on she became a nun. So it was beautiful in the movie, though. Like I said, it wasn't really accurate, but still, seeing how much she and her husband did love each other, there were moments you can clearly see that, like they were a loving couple and all that. And then later on, as we know, she prayed that for the sake of her sons not committing a mortal sin, she prayed for the Lord to take them, for them to die, rather than them being at risk of committing a mortal sin and going to hell. So that takes a lot of love, like unconditional love for
a parent to wish that for a child, but then also she went through everything that she did for the sake of her husband's salvation. So I found this passage in the calendar book for the month of May, volume 11, May 22nd, 1912. And it talks about true love. So I'll start where Jesus begins. It's just a short paragraph, really. It's not that much of a passage. So Jesus says to Louisa, "My daughter, true love is not subject to discontent. Rather, it takes the opportunity to turn these same discontents into the most beautiful contentments by virtue of love. Further, since I am the sentiments of contentments, I cannot tolerate any discontent any more than if it were my own rather than hers. So I am forced to give her that thing which makes her happy in order to have her all conformed with me. Otherwise, there would be some clashing and dissimilar fibers, heartbeats, or thoughts which would make us lose the best of our harmony. I cannot tolerate all this in the one who really loves me. Moreover, true love operates for love, and for love it does not operate. It asks for love, and it gives for love. Therefore, true love ends all in love. For love, it dies, and for love, it rises again." So in terms of love, we can just go on and on and on and on about it, but I'll try to shorten it. Considering that we're in the month of May, it's dedicated to Our Lady. So automatically, we think about Our Lady and her being our spiritual mother and the great love that she has for all of us, her children, no matter what our state of our soul is in. And she constantly never gives up on us, like a true mother. And then also we think about God. God is love. God is eternal love. He created us out of love. He created everything out of love. He loved us so much. That's how we exist. Because before we were just like statues, but we read that his love for us overflowed so much. He breathed the breath of life into us. And here we are, moving, living, and breathing, and thinking, and functioning. So, and then we read this passage, that true love is not subject to discontent. It goes to show with love, that true love, it's like what St. Paul had said, like, love is patient, love is kind, like all of these things, true love. But the thing is, it's a divine grace, because there are moments with love, like, yes, it seems easy to get upset, to give up, to say, fine, I wash my hands of you, that kind of thing. But look at the example, though, of God and Our Lady, how both of them are such good, loving parents to all of us creatures, how they never give up on loving us. They never give up on us coming back to them if we're strayed. Like they never give up on us. That's the one thing that keeps on getting to me, thinking about this passage and about true love, and especially heavenly true love, where love came from. That's the essence of love. That's the origin of love, is God. So I just think that's also something of a comfort for all of us, no matter what we do, is that all we have to do is just ask, think, say a prayer, take one step towards them, and they're already there, grabbing onto us and just holding us into close to their hearts, like the little children that they see us as.
Thank you, sister. All you need is love. All you need is love. I would sing, but I'm a terrible singer. You're listening to the School of Mary. This is with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine. Well, we're going to take a 1-minute break and be back in just a moment. Thank you.